How you doing there? Welcome back to Babylon Talmud. Today we're studying Daf Mem, Daf 40 of Masechta Bavli Metzia. Friends, your friends. Here's the thing with Daf 40. I thought, when I learned it the first time, I thought it was pretty easy. I was a little bit surprised at how long it took to review, so I'm kind of curious how long of a Daf this is going to be. I didn't think it was going to be hard, but let's see. I mean, I don't think it's very hard. The question is, how long is it? All right. I'm going to start on Daf Mem at the Mishnah, about 5, 6, 7, 8 or so lines into the page on Daf Mem. Hamafkid Peiris Eitzel Chaveru. So Shimon leaves some Peiris by Reuven. Right? How is a Yotzi Lo Chesronis? So when Reuven returns the Peiris to Shimon, so he can extract, he could take away assumed sort of loss, right? Meaning, and if Shimon, we're going to give examples, but basically the point is Shimon left, I don't know, 10 kilos of Peiris by Reuven. So when Reuven returns, he doesn't return 10 kilos, because of course, you know, over time, some of the fruits, right? Some of the pears are going to deteriorate. So it's just the way of the world is that, you know, he doesn't have to return the same amount that he got because he can assume that some of it had sort of rotted. Now this is specifically talking about a scenario where Reuven then went and mixed the pears together with his own pears. So therefore, the question is, right, as we're going to see in the Gemara, that if you just push it, you know, put it in the corner, well, then when Shimon comes to pick it up, we'll just say, hey, go to the corner and take what you left there. The point is that it got mixed together with Reuven's Peiris. So we're saying, don't just give back. So Reuven doesn't, when he says, so when he go, so when Shimon comes to take back his Peiris, Reuven doesn't go to the big, you know, concoction of Peiris and just give him back 10 kilos, right? He can assume that some of it deteriorated and he gives him back less than that. Okay. So again, so Amafkid Peiris Eitzel Chaveru, if Shimon deposits Peiris, fruits, although we're going to see that includes things like barley and wheat with Reuven. Hariza Yotzi Lo Chesronis. So when Reuven returns the Peiris to Shimon, he can deduct from the initial quantity assumed deterioration. Lechitim Vela Orez for wheat. And so Orez, of course, is rice, but the article said it's millet, whatever that is. Tisha Chatzoye Kabin Lekor. So for one core, you can deduct 9 half calves. Okay? You got that? L'sorin v'ladochen for barley and for some other thing. Tisha kabin l'kor. 9 calves for a kor, as opposed to 9 half calves. L'kuspin v'lazer pishton and for spelt and for flaxseed. Shalur sa'a in the court. 3 sa'a for a core. 1 sa'a is, I believe, 6 calves, so 18 calves for a core. Hakolafi amida, hakolafi azman. And this will all vary based on how many cores you have left there, right? Okay, so for the first, so let's say if we take the first example, which was chitim and oris, we said it's 9 half cores. So it's 9 half cores, 9 half calves per core. If you leave 5 cores, then it's 9 half calves times 5. Chevre, who wants to do the math? 9 half calves. So 9 half calves is 4.5 calves. Times 5 would be 22.5. Did I get that right? I hope. Why not? 4 times 5 is 20. Half times 5 is 2.5. 22.5. Is that what I said? Sounds right enough to me. I'll upon him. So it's all depend on how much you give, or hamida, right? So if you give, you know, 5 cores, so then you would multiply the amount by 5. And the fiasman, right? It's per year. So, you know, this is the measurement for 1 year. If you left it there for, you know, 2 years, so it would be, you know, times the quantity times the amount of years. This is where you, in computer programming, this is like where you have to use your brain. Every so often you have to like figure out a problem like this. You're like, you know, trying to figure out some kind of animation for like cropping a photo and you got to zoom and you got to move and you got to this and you got to that and you got to multiply by scale, divided by this and that. That's where you have to figure out the right math formula. Yeah, but usually it's a walk in the park. Bava Metzia, on the other hand. Omer B'yechon Ben-Uri says, B'yechon Ben-Uri, V'chima ichpas loin la'achborin, V'aloi eichlis bein mehar bein mekimo. Elo eino yotz lo chesronis, Elo lekor echot bilvat para. Rabbi Yechon and Benuri says, look, what are we concerned? That the mice are going to come and they're going to eat up the grain, the core. The mice don't care how much there is. They care about eating until they're full. So meaning, if they're going to eat like, I don't know, 1% of a core, let's say, because they're little mice, so they're going to eat like 1% of a core, they're going to eat that same 1% of a core, whether you have one core there, whether you have a 10 core there, whether you have 100 core there, they're going to eat until they're full. If they're full at 1% of a core, well, it's going to be the same amount no matter how much you have there. Right? So again, so Amr B'yechon B'nuri says, B'yechon B'nuri v'chima ichpas loin la'achborin. It makes no difference to the mice how many cores there are. They're going to eat the same amount until they're full. Whether there's a ton of stuff there, whether there's a little, you know, not as long as there's more than they need to eat, they can eat the same amount. Rather, says Rabbi Yechon ben Uri, you only make this cheshbin for one core. You know, after that, I mean, it makes no difference. They're still going to eat the same amount. Rabbi Yudah Omer says, Rabbi Yudah, im oisa mida meruba. If it is a large quantity, so then you actually don't deduct anything because they become larger. Gemara, we'll get to it in the Gemara. Okay, fine. Says the Gemara, or is tuva chaser, to which the Gemara said, wait, millet is only 9.5 cobs per core? Mapitom, it's much more than that. That our Mishnah is talking about peeled millet. And peeled millet doesn't deteriorate as much as unpeeled millet does. The kuspin v'lezer pishton gimel soyin lakor. For spelt and flax seed, it's 3 sa'ah per core. Amr b'chia zera pishton b'giv'olin shanu. That when we talk about flaxseed, it's talking about in their husks. Tanam Yachiv Yoichid learn in a brice like this, Lekusmin, for spelt, Vlazer Pishton, and for flaxseed, Big of Olin, in their husks. Vila Orish, She'en O'Kalif, and for non-peeled millet, which we said deteriorates more, Shlosha Soin Lakor, then it's 3 Sa'ah, which is 18 Kavs per, I believe, per core. Hakolafi Amida V'chule, okay, and as we said in the Mishnah, it's all based on the measurement and the time. Tana, we learn in a brice, Kain l'chol kor v'kor, that's the same cheshbin multiplied by the amount of cores that are deposited. V'chein l'chol shana v'shana times the amount of years that it has been left. Amar b'yechon b'nuri v'chulei. Tanya, right, so b'yechon b'nuri said, oh, excuse me, I keep on yawning. Oh my gosh, I'm sorry. No, I'm not, don't get any ideas over here. I'm very excited about this daf. Says Rabbi Yechonah ben Nuri, right? So Rabbi Yechonah ben Nuri said, it doesn't matter to the mice how much cores you have over there, they can eat until they're full. It makes no difference that you have 10 times the amount, 1,000 times the amount, they're still going to eat the same amount. So Tanya Amrullah, the Rabbi Yechonah, but they said to Rabbi Yechonah ben Nuri, they responded, the Mishnah doesn't say what they responded to him. They responded and they said, look, you think that the only thing that's happening to this Paris is that mice are coming? Harbe ov this man. A lot of them just simply rot. Harbe mispazrus man. Or if there's a storm or there's wind, it's gonna, right, stuff is gonna get blown away. And that is relative to the amount that there is, right? Meaning the amount that rots, the more cores you have, the more rotten food you're gonna have. And therefore, yeah, you know, sure, maybe the mice are going to eat the same amount, but that's only one factor. There's other factors that, yeah, the more cores you have, the more is going to get lost, either because it's spoiled or blown away, whatever it might be. Tana, we learn in a brisa, b'amei dvarim amurim. So when do we say that Reuven deducts from the deposit? when returning to Shimon, she'ervon im perosav, if Reuven mixed it together with his peros. So for example, if Shimon deposited wheat with Reuven, and then Reuven took the wheat and mixed it together with his wheat, right? So then Shimon says, okay, well, meaning, so let's say Reuven has a core of wheat, and Shimon deposits a core of wheat, and Reuven throws all of it together, and then Shimon says, okay, I'm here to collect my wheat, and Reuven goes, he's like, okay, well, they're all mixed together over here. So Shimon cannot expect to get back a full core of wheat. Rather, Reuven is going to, you know, give him less than that. For wheat, we said he's going to, right, nine half cobs less. I guess 4.5 cobs, I guess. Im peirosav, aval yichel lo karen zavos, but if when Shimon came with his core of wheat, Reuven says, hey, plop it over there in the corner, and so he does, well then, omlar is... Well, then that's the easiest scenario, right? Shimon comes to pick it up. Reuven says, "Okay, it's still plopped over there in the corner. Go pick it up and take it, and you know whatever's there is yours." And that's that. V'chi ervon imperes of my have. But the Gemara asks, but still, why do we need these fancy cheshbonis in the Mishnah? So what? So Reuven has a core of wheat. Shimon comes by with a core of wheat and he deposits it. Reuven mixes them all together. So now he's got two core of wheat. How about this? Half of it belongs to Reuven, half of it belongs to Shimon. When Shimon comes to pick up his wheat, Reuven should just give him half of it. Why do we need this fancy cheshbon? It's just half of it's Reuven's, half of it's Shimon's. When Shimon comes, split it in half, give Shimon half. Ho ho! So v'chiyev and peyros of my avi, lech ze ledidei. Kama Avyun, just let's see how much, you know, just give him whatever percentage is belongs to him. Bimistapik mayim. The thing is that Reuven has been eating from the wheat, so therefore it's not, there's that factor. Velechze kama istapik. Okay, so why don't we just see, okay, well, Reuven, how much did he eat? Teloyodi kama istapik. He says, I don't know. I ate, chvais nishte. When I was hungry, I ate posha. I don't know how much I ate. So therefore we say, okay, fine. So Shimon deposited a core. Okay, he was there for a year. 9 half cores per year. Give him the rest. Okay, fine. 9 half cobs per year. Give him the rest. Okay. Now, Babylon. Oh, gosh. Sorry if I just made you yawn. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Emhaisa v'chule. All right. So Rabbi Yehuda had this interesting opinion, which is that, well, if you had a lot, if Shimon deposited a lot of stuff, so then you don't, then Reuven doesn't deduct because it like gets bigger. We got to figure out exactly what this means. So first of all, come meet the Meruba. Okay, so to begin with, what's considered a lot? Asar korin, 10 cores is a lot. Kama midim ruba, how much is a lot? Asar korin, 10 cores. Okay, so a lot is 10 cores. Now, tonitane kama di ibn Nachman, so a teacher of Bryce is taught before Rav Nachman, when do we say, Rabbi Yehuda's, no, I'm sorry, when do we say in our Mishnah that you deduct these amounts? Shemodad lo mitoch gorno, verzu lo mitoch gorno. If Shimon kind of scooped out 10 scoops in his grain with a granary scoop, and that's what he deposited with Reuven, and then Reuven is taking these big old granary scoops and scooping them out and giving it to Shimon. So I mean, everyone's using the same measures, the same large measures. So then you say, okay, deduct, meaning if Shimon deposited 10 big old granary scoops, and then Reuven goes and takes 10 old big old granary scoops, and that's what he's going to give back to Shimon. Reuven says, wait, but there was deterioration. Let's make a cheshbon. But if Shimon scooped up 10 big old granary scoops and deposit, if Shimon did that and deposited by Reuven, and then Reuven comes with, you know, his his smaller household scoops and scoops up 10 small little household scoops and gives them back to Shimon, well then, sorry Reuven, you can't make any more deductions than that. You're already giving him less. Sorry Reuven, you can't give him any more deductions than that. You're already giving him less. Right, so Verzilo mitoch beso, and then Reuven measures out for Shimon from his like household measures. Eno yotzi lo chesronus mipnei shemosiros. Then he can't deduct any more because you know already Shimon deposited more than Reuven's giving him back in absolute measures. I hope I'm not mixing up Reuven and Shimon. Shimon's the depositor, Reuven's the returner, the custodian. To which Rav Nachman says, please, are we talking about fools? It makes no sense. Shimon an idiot? Shimon is depositing 10 big old scoops and allowing Reuven to just give him 10 like small little household scoops? That's ridiculous. Obviously, Shimon is going to expect to get paid to receive back in the same large measure that he deposited. So rather, Dilma Bimos Agorin, comrade. No, maybe you're not talking about granary scoops. Maybe you're talking about during the granary season. The granary season is, I think, at the end of the summer. The end of the summer is when they're putting everything in the granary, I think. And then at that time, everything is dry, right? So, when do we say that, right, that Reuven deducts from what he's returning to Shimon? That if Shimon deposited this stuff with Reuven at the end of the summer, when everything was dry and small and not like moist and plump, but is smaller. So then, if Shimon deposited, like 10 scoops with Reuven, at the end of the summer, and then I guess maybe a year later, he's asking for it back, and then Reuven gives him back 10 of the same size scoops, he says, wait, some of it must have deteriorated, I'm going to, deduct from that. Aval, modelo bimos agorin, but if Shimon gave these 10 scoops to Reuven during the, at the end of the summer, and then ve'echzelo bimos agshomim, and Reuven is returning the deposit, returning the payers to Shimon during the winter. Now, during the winter, when it's rainy, the wheat and the payers are going to get moist and more plump. So when Reuven takes 10 scoops of the grain in the winter, there's actually going to be less grain already in the scoops because they're more plump. So in that case, Reuven would not deduct anything more because to begin with, the scoops already contain less grain. So eino yotzi lo chisarim pnei shemosiros. So then don't make any more deductions because as it is, the grain is more plump and larger, and there's already, to begin with, less grain in the in those scoops. If that's the case, that the grain gets more plump and bigger during the winter, so then lifka kada. So then shouldn't the jugs that are containing the grain be like breaking? So then, right, they should explode. The truth is, the taka was once a story where the container exploded. Alternatively, mishum itzitza, because they're packed very tightly in. Because they're packed tightly in, so that is why they don't break the vessels, but they still do, in fact, expand during the winter. Okay, and now we get up to our second Mishnah of the day. I think it's an interesting enough Mishnah. Here we go. Yotzi lo shtus liayin. Reb Yehuda Omer Chomesh. Okay, so if Shimon deposited wine with Reuven, and Reuven mixed it together with his wine, so then when he returns the wine, he returns the wine minus a sixth. Reb Yehuda Omer Chomesh. Reb Yehuda says that Shimon returns the wine minus a fifth, 20%. Yotzi lo shlosha login shemen lemeya. for every 100 logs of oil, Reuven can deduce 3 logs. Log of Vamechza, Shmarim log Vamechza, Bela. Of those 3 logs that Reuven deducts, 1.5 is for sediment is for the sediment, right? Because Reuven mixed the oil together with his own oil. So now over the time, the sediment all went to the bottom. So therefore, meaning when Shimon deposited the oil with Reuven, it was with sediment. But by now, all the sediment is at the bottom. So, when Reuven gives back, 100 logs to Shimon, he can say, I'm taking out 1.5 logs because that's sediment that's now at the bottom. And also another log and a half got absorbed in the actual barrel. Okay, so he gives him back 100 logs minus 3. Imhoye Shemin Mizukik. Now, if it was pure oil, Eino Yotzi Lo Shmarim. So if Shimon deposited pure oil, well, then Reuven can't deduct anything for the sediment. Imhoye Kankanim Yishonim. And if they were old jugs, well, Eino Yotzi Lo Bela, then he doesn't have to deduct anything for being absorbed in the walls because they're already absorbed. The walls are already absorbed. Says Rabbi Yehuda, "Afa mocher shemen mizukik lachaveru koyim bos hashana." This is interesting. So it sounds like apparently there's a scenario where, like, the oil monger has like some kind of deal where, let's say, he's going to provide a client, a customer, 100 logs of shemen over the course of the year. So every week or let's say every or every month, he would dole out, some oil for the customer. Now, over time, the sediment is going to the bottom. So by that time, he's basically doling out. So he's not just giving him 100 logs of oil, right? He's doling out basically pure oil because he's just giving a little bit at a time. And what he's giving is basically pure oil, whatever's at the top. So if you have an oil monger who's selling oil to customers throughout the year, so the customer needs to accept that he's going to receive 97 log at the end of the day and not the full 100 because, ultimately there's the sediment and there's the absorption. Okay, fine. Now the Chachamim, however, would argue, as we're going to see in the Gemara, and say that no, if he's, doling out this oil throughout the year, every single, month or whatever, he needs to give the full amount. He can't just, automatically give less to account for sediment and absorption. Vilo plige. So when the Mishnah says that when Reuven returns wine, he could return minus a sixth. The Tanakhama says minus a sixth. So Buddha said minus a fifth. So vilo plige. They aren't necessarily arguing per se. Marki asri, marki asri. Each one just was saying based on the realities where they live, but the concept was the same, that you can deduct for whatever was absorbed in the walls of the container, and it just depends on the metzias of where they were. But Asr Demar Chafu Bekira Velo Mayitz, in the Tanakama where the Tanakama lived, they lined the wine barrels with wax, and that absorbed less, so therefore only a sixth would get absorbed. Be'asrei demar chafu bekufro ma'itz tfei, whereas where Rabbi Yehuda lived, they would line the barrels with pitch, and more of it would get absorbed, and therefore 20% would get absorbed in the walls. Ibai same alternatively mishum gargishto, because of the clay that they would, the clay barrels that the clay jugs that they would keep it in. Right? Some of them were more absorbent, others were less absorbent. So it just depends on sort of the mitzias of where they lived and how absorbent the containers that they were keeping the wine in was. But everybody agreed on the same principle, which is that whatever got absorbed would be deducted. Basra de Rav Yehuda. This is interesting. So apparently Rav Yehuda was a store owner. He had a makolet or something. I don't know. Sold wine at least. Basra de Rav Yehuda Ramu Arboim Vitamne Kuze Bedono. So where Rav Yehuda lived, which I think was Pumpedisa, so they would so every barrel of wine would hold in it 48 kuzas of wine. Kuza is like a liter, I guess. It's like a measurement. So 48 kuzas in a barrel. Ozil dona b'shisa zuzei. And you can buy a barrel whole. You can buy a whole barrel for 6 zuz. Which is what Rav Yehuda, the storekeeper, would do. He would buy a whole barrel for 6 zuz. Paras Rav Yehuda shisa shisa b'zuzah. And he would sell 6 kuza for a zuz. So he would buy basically 8 kuza for a zuz, but he would sell 6 kuza for a zuz, and he would make 12 kuzas profit. Okay, so the altlosim b'shisa b'shisa. So when after he sold 6 kuzas, so then, wait, what? You know, every 6 kuzas that he sold was 1 zuz. So after he sold 36 kuzas, then he had already made back his investment. So that was plus in Vishisa Pashlu Tracer. So now he's got another additional 12 kuzas that is profit. But Daltmanya Shtuse Pashlu Arbo. But we said that 1/6 of it gets absorbed in the barrel itself, which means that what's 1/6 of 48? 8. So 8 of those logs, 8 of those kuzas were getting absorbed in the wall. So he's selling 36 kuzas. 8 of them are getting, 8 of the kuzas are absorbed in the wall. So pashlu arba, which means that he has 4 out of the initial 48 profit, right? Because 36 of them are just to pay back the investment. 8 of it is getting absorbed in the wall. Then there's 4 kuzas that he could sell for profit. Now, 4 of 48 is 1/12. So, ve'omer Shmuel, amistaka istaka yoser al shtus. But doesn't Shmuel say that a person is allowed to profit up to a sixth, more than a sixth, which I assume that we're going to get to pretty soon. I imagine we're going to get to this pretty soon. I think it probably comes up with, this is Ona. I don't know. Does Ona come up in like one of the upcoming prokim? I don't know. Maybe, I don't know. I never learned Bava Metzia. I don't know. Maybe Azov or Ezu Neshech. Does Ona come up? I assume. I assume somewhere in Bava Metzia, Bava Basra comes up. Because it's quoting over here from Bava Basra. I don't know. We'll see. I assume that it was a Bava Metzia thing. Anyways, a person should not overcharge or profit, in other words, more than a sixth. More than a sixth would be overcharging. But you are allowed to charge a sixth. Why was Rav Yehuda only charging a 12th? That seems like he's charging, he's allowed to charge more. So, Ika Gulfe Bishmaraya, well, he can keep the barrel and he can keep the sediment and that's worth something. Yachinofish Leitve Mishtos. Well, if that's the case, if you take into account the barrel and the sediment, well, then actually he's making more than a sixth. Well, Ika Tarche Vidme Barzanyosa. Interesting. Yeah, but there's also, what about his efforts? His efforts, he needs to also be paid for his efforts. And also the fact that he needs to hire a specialist to open the barrels in a certain way so that the wine would come out properly. So there are other expenses and that could be taken into account as well. If it was
pure, right, because we said that for every 100 logs of oil, you could deduct 3 logs, 1.5 for sediment, and 1.5 for absorption in the wall. But we said if it's pure oil, so then you would not deduct for sediment. And if it was an old barrel, then you would not deduct for absorption in the walls because those walls are already absorbed. So, But what do you mean? So even if they're old barrels, epis is going to get absorbed. Something is going to get absorbed. No.
So Rav Nachman says, Rav Nachman bimzu popin shonu.
We're talking about barrels that were lined with pitch, and because they were lined with pitch, they weren't going to absorb.
Abaye Omer afilu tema shelo bimzu popin.
You can even say that they're not lined with pitch. Because came to tone. Look, once the barrel is saturated, it's saturated. It's not going to absorb any more.
All right, fine.
Givaldi. Now, Rabbi Yehuda Omer says, Rabbi Yehuda, Afa mocher shemen mizukok lachaveiro kol yemos hashono harizim kabel olav log v'mechto shmorim limeyo.
So Rabbi Yehuda had said that if you have a oil monger who is selling oil throughout the year, and you know he's got this barrel and all the sediment has already sedimented to the bottom, and so now every month he's basically just giving him oil, pure oil, so he can give less to account for the sediment that has gone to the bottom of the barrel.
So Amar Abaye says, Abaye kishetim tzalom. Now the assumption is that the rabbis disagree and say, no, he can't. He has to give him the full amount. You know, he has to give him the full amount. He can't deduct anything.
So Amar Abaye says, Abaye kishetim tzalomar, the divrei Reb Yehuda, mutter le'arev shmarim le'divrei chacham, osur le'arev shmarim.
The shaila is, okay, so you have this barrel of oil, okay? Now, we're saying that the oil monger is distributing it throughout the year, which means that by, you know, at a certain point, all of the sediment has already gone to the bottom. Which means that any oil that he's going to be providing is from the top where there's no sediment. The question is, would he be allowed to take like a big spoon and mix up the whole barrel so that all the sediment gets mixed in again? And that way, you know, because otherwise if all the sediment's at the bottom, then he's basically going to sell all the pure oil and he's going to be stuck with sediment at the bottom. But what's he going to do with sediment? But if he can mix, you know, if he can take a spoon or something and mix in all the sediment, so then when he sells oil, he's going to be selling it with the sediment, and therefore that way, you know, he's selling away the sediment, you know, and it's just part of the oil at that point. So the question is, are you allowed to do that? Okay, if you have this oil where all the sediment has already gone to the bottom, are you allowed to kind of mix in all the sediment so that you're able to then sell and profit from the sediment, not just be stuck with it at the end?
So Omer Abaye says, Abaye kshetim tzalomar, I'm reading that again, kshetim tzalomar, the divrei Reb Yehuda, mutter la'ayir shmarim. So we'll say that according to Reb Yehuda, who says that he can deduct for the sediment, so Reb Yehuda holds that you're allowed to mix in the sediment if you wanted to. The Divrei Chacham also la'arev shmarim. The Chacham would say that you're not allowed to mix through the sediment if you want to. The Divrei Reb Yehuda mutar la'arev shmarim. So according to Reb Yehuda, you are permitted to mix in the sediment from the bottom. V'hainu taima d'mekabel, and this is why, according to Reb Yehuda, the customer is forced to accept that there's going to be a deduction in his oil to account for sediment. I mean, that he's going to get less oil because, you know, there's sediment at the bottom of the barrel, and the owner doesn't need to accept that loss, and therefore he's going to give a little bit of less oil to account for the sediment, that was initially part of it. This is why the customer needs to accept that. The Amrle, because the seller, the oil monger, is going to say to the customer, look, if you want, you know, look, if you're going to give me a hard time about deducting from the total amount of pure oil, look, I can always just take a big old spoon and mix through all the sediment, and I'll just, you know, give you oil with sediment in it. And then I'll give you the full amount, but there will be sediment in it. So if I wanted to, I could just do that. So therefore, look,
If you want pure oil, take pure oil minus, 3% for sediment. If you want the full 100%, so then I'll just mix in all the sediment and you can have your 100% with the sediment in it. V'lei malei, but why can't the customer say to the seller, I arvas lei, you know what? If you would mix through the sediment, well, at least have mizdabinli. You know what? If you did mix in the sediment, that would actually be better for me, because then I can then sell the oil with the sediment to somebody else. Hashta, but now that you're selling me a little bit every single month, and you're selling me pure oil, and now at the end you're going to want to kind of give me this sediment. My avid lay lichude. What am I going to do with just pure sediment at the end? I can't, right? Lo mizdabin li. I won't be able to sell it because, all the other oil that you're giving me is already gone. Right? I guess that would be, further on in the year or something. You wouldn't be able to make that claim or something. But here we're talking about not somebody who's going to sell it in his own store. We're talking about the balabais who's taking it home, and therefore he can't say, hey, I'd prefer to have it with the sediment because then I can sell it. He's not selling it. Okay, fine. Denich lebetzila would prefer that it's clear, pure olive oil, and therefore the seller could say, look, accept 3% less to account for sediment. If you want, I can always just, mix in the sediment and give you 100%. But the balabais would prefer the pure oil. V'lei malei, but let the customer say to the seller, midelo arvasli, achuli achlasli. Yeah, but from the fact that you haven't mixed it in, means that you are simply not including it. I mean, if you want to mix it in, mix it in. But if you have mixed it in, then that's an indication, argues the customer, that you're not planning to charge for it, that you're not planning to, include it in the sale. So therefore, sell me 100%. Rabbi Yehuda l'taimei d'leis l'mechila. Rabbi Yehuda, though, is consistent with his reasoning, who says, Rabbi Yehuda does not hold of implied gifting, right? Meaning the customer is trying to make the argument, well, from the fact that you didn't mix in the sediment, it clearly means that you're planning to just give me all of it without sediment. You're planning to gift me the 3% that normally would have been sediment. Yeah, but Rabbi Yehuda is not into implied gifts. The Tanan, as we learn in the Mishnah, Mocher lo esat semed. So this is talking about oxen. So you have an ox that plows a field. And apparently, if you have three rows that need to be plowed, so you could take three cows and put them next to each other, and then you would connect them with this yoke. This yoke would connect them by the necks and keep them in one straight, one parallel line, so that they could all kind of plow the fields together at the same pace. So machalo es atzemed. So if a seller sells to a buyer a yoke, lo machalo es abakar, he's not also selling the oxen, he's just selling the yoke. Machlos abakar lo machlos atzemed. And if he sells oxen, it's not assumed that the yoke is included in the sale. Rabbi Yehuda Omer says, Rabbi Yehuda Adam Modin. Rabbi Yehuda says, well, through this you can tell based on what the price is. Ketzad, what does this mean? Well, Omer lo mechor li tzmedcha bimosayim zuz. Clearly, if a purchaser said to a seller, I want to buy your yoke for 200 zuz, an enormous amount. Hadavar yidua, obviously, sheina tzemed b'masayim zuz. Obviously, a yoke doesn't cost 200 zuz. Clearly, he's saying, I want to buy the yoke as well as the oxen. So you can tell based on the price that we're talking about, if it's only for the yoke or does it include the oxen as well. V'chachom omim, ein adam raya. The chachomim say, no, you can't bring a proof from the price, that if the purchaser, if the customer says, I want to buy the yoke for 200 zuz, says the chachamim, maybe what he's saying, or we have to assume that what he's saying is, I want to buy the yoke, I want to buy the yoke, and whatever is above and beyond the normal cost of a yoke, I'm gifting to you. So the rabbis are saying that it's a, right, that it could be Rav Chomam Ein Adam Raya, that the price is not a proof that like he wants the oxen as well. No, maybe even though he's paying 200 zuz, maybe it is just for the yoke and the extra money is just a gift. Whereas Rav Yehuda says, no, we don't assume that people are giving gifts. And here also, right, we're not going to assume that just because the oil monger gave pure oil and didn't include the sediment, it's because he wants to gift him extra oil. No, we don't assume that. Okay, fine. And therefore, according to Rav Yehuda, the oil monger can deduct 3% to account for, I guess really 1.5% would technically be for the sediment. Then there would also be the amount for the absorption. Okay, fine. Now, the Divrei Chachamim, according to the Chachamim, they say that no, the oil monger needs to provide the complete amount that he's meant to be selling. If he's selling 100 logs, he needs to give the complete 100 logs, you know, spread out over the course of the year. Also, the Arav Shmarim, because the Chacham hold that you're not allowed to mix in the sediment. And therefore, the buyer basically says, look, seller, you're stuck. You're not allowed to mix in the sediment. You just have to sell me the oil, the pure oil that's there. So behind the time of Deloma Kabbalah, this is why the buyer does not accept upon himself the 3% reduction. The Amale, Ibois Li Aruve Mihava Sharilach, because the buyer now has more leverage over here. And he says to the seller, look, I mean, it's not like if you wanted to, you would be able to mix in the sediment. You're basically stuck. You have to keep the oil as it is, pure oil. Sell me pure oil at the amount that we agreed on, 100 logs, spread it over the course of the year, and that's that. Hashtanami lo makabilna, I will not accept any less than what we agreed upon. You can't just deduct from the amount to account for the sediment. The sediment's at the bottom, and it stays at the bottom, and you're stuck. Omle Rav Poppe l'Abaye. Now, Rav Poppe says to Abaye, Adrabe ipcho mistavro. Rav Poppe says to Abaye, the opposite is take true. That it's take the opposite that's true. And it's take the opposite that's true. The Divrei Chachomim, according to the Chachomim, mutar la'ariv shmarim. According to the Chachomim, you would be allowed to mix the sediment into the oil. V'hainu taima d'lo mekabel. This is the reason why the buyer does not accept upon himself the deduction. D'omar le, because the buyer says to the seller, midelo arvas li, achuli achlis li. From the fact that you didn't mix in the sediment, the implication is that you're gifting me the full amount. You're not right without any sediment or anything like that. And the Chacham, we just said, say that we can imply a gift. The Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi Yehuda, who says that that the seller does deduct the amount for the sediment. Also, the Ayir Shmarim, he's not allowed to mix in the sediment. Behindu Taima de Mikabel, and this is why the buyer needs to accept the deduction, is because the Amarle, because the seller says to the buyer, look, you know, have rachmanis on me. Ibai laruve lo sharili laruve loch. Look, you know, look, you have to accept that I'm giving you less to account for the sediment, because like I'm basically stuck. I'm not allowed to mix in the sediment into the oil. If I was allowed to, then I could have mixed the sediment in, and then I would sell you the full amount, but it would have sediment in it. But I'm not allowed to do that. Kabule lo mikabalt, and if mikablas, and if you don't accept the oil minus a percentage to account for the sediment, zabun v'zabin tagu ikre. If you have a person who buys and sells, but he doesn't make a profit, he's only a merchant in name, but in practical business terms, he's not making any money. So basically, what do you know? You're asking, you're going to drive me out of business if you don't allow me to make a profit. So if I can't, you know, I can't have a situation where, you know, I'm not allowed to mix in the sediment. So I'm basically, you know, I have to give you the pure oil, but I also can't account for the fact that I have all the sediment at the bottom that I can't do anything with. So that would not be fair. You know, I have to deduct for the sediment, to account for the sediment. Very interesting stuff, Lamaisa. It is very, it's probably extremely practical stuff, right? Okay. Tana, we learn in the Brisa, echad alokeach ve'echad amafkid, whether it comes to a buyer, whether it comes to a depositor, lifkotim, when it comes to the scum at the top of the oil. My lifkotim, what are we talking about with regard to this scum? Ilemo ki heichi delokeach lo mekabel pkotim, mafkid nami lo mekabel pkotim. If we say that just like the buyer does not accept the scum at the top of the oil, mafkid nami lo mekabel pkotim. So also when Shimon comes to pick up his oil, he won't accept that there's scum at the top of it. V'leimalei, but let Reuven say to Shimon, look, take back your oil. Pkotcho my avilu, what am I going to do with your scum? So just like Shimon needs to accept his oil with the scum, so also when a person buys oil, he buys it with the scum on it. But does a purchaser really have to purchase oil with scum? Rabbi Yehuda Omer says, Rabbi Yehuda, amu shemen ocher el lemocher bilvad. That when we talk about hazy, dirty, like not dirty, but I don't know, oil that's murky, oil that has sediment, that is, I guess, sediment and scum, well, scum on it. El lemocher bilvad. That's only for the seller, but the buyer does not need to accept the scum. Where am I? Acher el lemocher bilvad. Chari lokeach mikabel olav. Because after all, the purchaser is accepting the fact that there is 1.5 logs of sediment at the bottom. So therefore, he doesn't have to also accept the scum. So what's the dealio? Do we have to... what's the deal? On the one hand, we said that just like Shimon, the depositor, needs to accept the scum, so also a purchaser needs to accept the scum. But then we also said that a purchaser doesn't need to accept the scum because he's already accepting the sediment at the bottom. So lokasha, it's no problem. Hadiyoyev le zuze b'tishrei v'kashokel mine b'nisan kimida de tishrei. Hadiyoyev le zuze b'nisan v'kashokel mine b'nisan kimida de nisan. Well, in Tishrei, the olive oil, I guess, was probably just pressed, and it was still like, what's the word, murky or something? It was still not settled still, right? So there was like scum on it, but the olive oil at that time is cheaper. So if he bought the olive oil in Tishrei and he's picking it up later on in Nisan, but he, at the price that he paid for it in Tishrei, at the cheaper price, well, then he has to accept it with the scum. But if he's buying it in Nisan, once it's already settled and it's a more expensive price for pure oil, that's already been settled, well, then he doesn't have to accept these scum. So it depends. So again, since we're inside, Lokasha Adiyoyev Le Zuze B'Tishrei, if he paid for it in Tishrei, when it was murky, V'Kashokel Mine B'Nisan, and he's picking it up in Nisan, Kimida de Tishrei, but for the same price that he paid for it in Tishrei, well, then he has to accept it with the scum. Adiyoyev Le Zuze B'Nisan, but if he's buying it at the higher rate in Nisan, because Shokomine ben Nisan, he's picking it up in Nisan, Kimida de Nisan, so then it's like, then it is like how they do it in Nisan, and it's going to be without the, you know, then there wouldn't be any scum included. Wow, that ended up being a longer daf than I anticipated. I thought it was going to be like a short one, but it's totally not. I mean, not super long, but it wasn't quick. We kind of talked about, yeah, like giving stuff back and like deducting for like normal kind of, like rotting and stuff. But it was super interesting because also like, yeah, just like what can you, yeah, like can a seller automatically deduct like certain hidden costs and stuff? Super interesting. Peace out.